All right. Hebrews, we'll pick up at 10. Hebrews 10, we'll try to read down to, let's try to get down to eleven, thirteen. That's a good stopping spot. 13, well, we'll see. We'll see how far we can get. And, but what we'll do is go back and pick up verse 36, actually 35, excuse me, and we'll get a springboard start and see how many verses we can cover there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege again to meet and study your word. We pray as we go forward, always for enlightenment, for understanding, and that we might even find some practical points to strengthen us as we continue our walk and continue our studies in the book of Hebrews. We thank you for those who gather tonight. We thank you for giving us the mind to come out and fellowship together. We thank you for your word that we have for our enjoyment, for our edification, instruction. We pray again for the class and that the words might be received as the word of God and not as the word of man. We pray for just a free course for your truth to come through, that we might not change the words to fit what we like. And we pray that we might be strengthened and comforted through the reading of your word. We pray once again for the hearers that the words that we do cover may not be hindered by anything that I might say or do, or that we might say or do in the class. And we pray for all believers that you might strengthen them according to their needs. And we just go forward with thanksgiving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was trying to go through without coughing. I'm sorry. 35. Let's pick up there. When I will say this, as we're going forward, the focus that I see going forward in Hebrews 11 is he's given them some examples of those who went before them to encourage them in their faith journey, because they're going to have to go forward by faith. They're not going to see what they're looking for right away. Not for a little while. That man is on it. They're not going to see it for a little while. And that little while, it could trip you up if you're not ready. If you're not focused, that little while might be a little problem. So when he goes forward, he's getting them to, you know, he gives some examples about people who had to wait a little while. Literally. Not the little while they wait, but they still had to wait. So we'll find out. Hopefully it'll come together as we go forward. But he's encouraging them to go ahead and to stay faith-focused. And he gives those examples of several believers as encouragement. So, Hebrews 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He's already setting the stage for them to endure. Sound familiar? Endure to the end? He's setting the stage for them. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Their waiting will be rewarded. Their perseverance will be rewarded. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And that promise is them going into the kingdom that they're waiting for. And he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, he's obviously talking about the Lord in this passage, and that's who they're waiting for. He says, now, 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. So he's given them in this last passage in chapter 10 the encouragement to have patience, to keep their confidence. And you notice, I think in Hebrew, in Peter, one verse in Peter where he says that the Lord is not slack. Remember that concerning his promise. As other men count slackness. So they're going forward and they're looking and they're waiting for him, for his return. And what they don't know, well, they will go on. The next thing on the stage is tribulation. And they have to go through that. That's this is the Hebrews, the Jews. They'll have to go through that tribulation. And he says, it's just what? It's just a little while. It's just a little while. You know what? That's encouraging, isn't it? Because they think about it and says, well, how long? How long? You said you're gonna have my mind is racing. Remember when Abraham, when he first received the promise and he had a dream. The Lord showed him a dream of great horror, darkness, and he said, your seed will be in 400 years. That's a long time. He said they're going to be treated, oppressed for 400 years. He said, but they're going to come out with great substance. Can you imagine? Here's Abraham, and he's thinking that you're going to get everything that I promised you, but it's one small detail. He said, you're going to have to suffer for 400 years.
I can see Abraham telling Sarah, shh, don't tell the kids.
That's, listen, he doesn't even have, this is all up front. And he says, you're going to have to endure this. And he says, okay, how long, Lord? And he's like, a little while, like what? And he says, 400 years, like, wow. And you know what happens? They go through, and I like this verse. We talked about this before, and the scripture said, and the self same day, 400 years to the day, what happens? They come out. That's because he made a what? A covenant with him. And because he's faithful to keep the covenant. He could not swear by any greater, because God is immutable. That's all that stuff. It adds on. But he tells them, he says, verse 36, for you have need of patience. Cast not away. First he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Same as faith.
It's their temptation is going to be to lose their faith.
Sure.
Yeah, if you're hungry, you've got children that are needing to be fed, and you got no food, and you got to take the mark to buy or sell.
It's always easy for us to look back and say, I believe I can do that. Mm-hmm. I believe I can endure until you get in a situation like that. And you say, you know, it's not that bad. Don't we say that? Don't we put ourselves back there and say, how can they do that? Mm-hmm. Like for example, Peter, where he says, I won't deny you. And she said, you. And all of a sudden, and you say, I can't believe Peter did that. Yeah, I can. I can.
He was scared.
You know what? Not to get too sidetracked. He may have been scared, but I think he was more ashamed. Look, if I'm scared, I'm not going to follow you like that. I'm not going to follow you to the hall, and I'm out there, and I see you with the rest of them. I'm sitting there, I'm standing there with people, and he's watching them. I think he's watching them. He said, you know what, do something already. So you just going to let this happen? Just going to let them take you? Mm-hmm. And he said, that's one of them. I don't know him. I don't know that man right there.
And that makes more sense. Mm-hmm.
And think about it. He just, look at Matthew 17. We can come back here. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also the Son of Man shall suffer of them. Then they understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. I just read that, but they're on the mount. They have this experience. He shows them what they'll have to wait for.
He gives them a glimpse of the future.
He gives them, you know, I said I was going to, let me show you this right quick. He says, what is that? 17:1. You know what? I have to get my trusty Bible here. 17:1, right? All right. Get that. You got 17:1? Mm-hmm. And get... Luke, let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke 9. Let's see, 9. Okay. Got it? 17. It says... Hold on. I'm gonna let you do this. I'm gonna draw this here. This is, you know, that's our throne there, our imitation throne. What does 17:1-2 say?
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
All right. It says, this is what?
Huh? Is that the mountain apart?
That's the mountain apart, yes. It said what? After what?
After
high mountain apart? Well,
no, no. It's a
transfigured before.
It's a. It said, and after what?
Oh, six days.
Okay. And who's got Luke? Got Luke? Luke 9?
9 what?
Oh. 9. 28. It says, and it came to pass what?
8 days.
It came to pass?
About
8 days after these things. After these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a high mountain to pray. Now, I just found this interesting. He said, after what?
Six.
And about what?
Eight.
What would that lead you with? What would that leave
seven.
You with? It would leave you with seven.
That's
fine. He's right there, he says, 7 day he takes them up, shows them his what? The glory that's coming after his suffering, after his resurrection, after the tribulation, he's going to show them what's to come, what they have to look forward to in the kingdom. And am I stretching that? Well, he says after six, about eight.
No, especially when you say, and after 69 weeks, he shall be cut off.
See, all those 70s, all those 770s, all that stuff is related to him establishing the kingdom. Okay, I just said that that's something that you can take and put it on the shelf.
I wonder if we would have come up with that study after a little while.
So, well, this is not a little while study, but... That helps, right?
Yep.
All right, back to Hebrews. I was saying that he would show them his glory, and they had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens after this is he says, "Don't tell anybody."
Right.
So now they have to wait. To experience what he just showed them. They know he's the king. They know he's the son of God. They know he has the power. And then he tells them, he says, but I'm going to the cross to die. And after I'm resurrected, then we'll set the kingdom up. So they have to go through this. And even though he told them that, after he is crucified and they were walking and they were sad.
Mm-hmm.
He just 3 years. It's hard to forget something in 3 years, isn't it? 400 years? I can understand that. 400 years, Moses goes in, he says, it's time. And they say, time for what?
Mm-hmm.
He said, God made a promise to Abraham. He's getting ready to bring us out into a kingdom. Who is God? They had even forgot who God, who is God, what God?
There were so many of them all around.
But here he is, 3 years, he says, I'm going to suffer and die after that. And they go through, he's crucified, and there they are walking. It's like, what'd they say?
We thought it was him.
Huh?
Who,
we thought it was him.
Yeah.
We thought he was the one.
Is
that holding fast your confidence?
No.
No, it's not.
Nor listening very well.
And he comes and he says, what are you talking about? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? They crucified Jesus of Nazareth. And we thought he was the king. Luke 24. We get back to Hebrews. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done.
You think the words coming out of their mouth would be deja vu? You know, like, wait a minute, where have I heard that before? 3 days.
You know.
Velvet said something about, you know, like Mary, like that verse where Mary supposed him to be the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And then Velvet said, well, he was so marred on the cross that she didn't recognize him. And I'm like,
no.
I'm like, you would remember what he looked like 3 days ago. And apparently these guys didn't recognize him either. And then you wonder, you know, you always look to the risen Christ to see what our bodies are going to be like. You know, he can eat and whatever.
Right.
Because he's in the new body.
But they don't recognize him.
Because their eyes were holding.
Right, he did that. You know what? When you're trying to, if you want somebody to believe, if you want them to operate in faith, then you can't have them operate
by sight.
Right. So he comes with them, and no doubt he disguised himself. He was able to do that, and he's walking with them. And he says, "Hey, what's going on, guys? Why are you so sad?" And they're like, "Don't you know?" I'm like, what? You know, he's walking, he's probably like, you know what, you're going to find out what he thought in a couple of verses here. But verse 17 says what? No, verse 16, Jenny, says what? But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Okay, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. You know what? They still are not putting this together. They said, you know what? And some of the women, they went to the tomb and he wasn't there.
They still
don't think that he's resurrected. And he says, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to what?
Believe.
All that I have said to you. Listen, you know what? Don't even listen to me. He said, all that's what?
Prophets.
All that's written. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning, what? From the time he met them. He said, beginning what? No, you know, I said beginning from the time he met them. Beginning 3 years prior when I first met you.
Went all the way back to
he didn't even talk about their acquaintance. He talked about what?
The scripture.
What was written.
For in them,
that's,
you think ye have life, and they are they that testify of me.
He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. He went right back to the book and said, everything that's written, it had to happen. I told you those things. He said, you could have believed the scriptures.
That
Don't trust your own experience. Trust the scriptures, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what Peter would look. Peter said we were. He used that example about them in the mount. He said, we were with him. We were with him when we saw it.
But we have a more sure word.
We have a what?
A more sure word of prophecy.
And he said, and you do well to take heed to it until the day star arise. He said, go with what's written. Go with scripture. You know, just as, when you talk to people and when you start to have a dialogue with them, and it may not take that long, but if you listen long enough, you know what they start to do? They start to go left. I think
they're off the trail.
I think this. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, what about the verse? You got a verse for that? No, I just feel like, okay. You never had those conversations?
Yeah, every day with my daughter.
And it doesn't, you know, we're at the nursing home Sunday. And I love my grandmother. We're sitting there and I just sit down and I'm listening to. She said, I want you to do the devotion for the residents. They have resident devotion. I said, this was Saturday. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, you're doing that. I want you to do it. I want you to do what you've been doing. And I thought I should do it. I did the last one though, you know. So I just wanted to. Anyway, I should have done it. But anyway, so I just sit down. I'm listening, and everybody in there is. They're just throwing things out, like I just out of their imagination.
No.
Just anything, you know. Yeah, Lord, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you can't do this. And I thought, so I need to get up right now and say something. I said, these are elderly people. I said, this could be the last week for them. Luckily, fortunately, there was a. Somebody was saying, you know, all you have to do is believe. You know, you just, the scriptures say, you know, you just have faith, you believe, and that'll save you. And I was like, oh. I'm like, good. But you got five or six people there who are just throwing stuff out.
Platitudes that aren't even in scripture.
So. But you know what? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be young. It doesn't have to be old people.
Yeah.
It's all people of different ages. They still operate without faith. Okay. So I just went there because he showed them what was going to happen, and they couldn't last a year. Holding their confidence. Is that a little while? Is a year? Is a year? Is that a little while? They couldn't last a year without losing hope. Not even a year. It was 3 days. I mean, he was alive, right? 3 days, and they were like,
hey, what that motto
be? Well, when he says we had trusted that it should have been him to have redeemed Israel, that trust was in their own imagination. It wasn't in.
I don't know how. I don't know. I wish I was back there and say, what happened?
But I mean, think about it. He said it would be 3 days.
And if they're saying we had trusted that it has been he, they weren't trusting that he said he would rise in 3 days, because so they were obviously trusting in their own imagination. They weren't trusting in what he said nor what the prophets had said. And that's
You know, I'm just saying, when you said that, it made me think of this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, you know, that he was buried. I'm mixing that with 11. But he's saying that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He says, this is what saves you if you what?
If you've not believed in vain.
If you keep in memory what I preached on you, unless
you believe in vain.
Unless you have believed in vain. And that's, you ever talk to somebody and say, what does it take to be saved? And they says, oh, believe.
Believe what?
So they can quote that. They can repeat that. But do they really believe that?
Right.
Because you can do this. What does it take to be saved? And they say, believe. And you say, what else? And then they'll add something on there. Oh, you got to go to church. Okay, what else? And you got to pay tithes. And you say, well, what else? And you got to, they'll add
so
some.
You just pulled out their definition.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, you can say that, but if you believed, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Nothing.
What else?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
I'd put a big X over all that. So, can you still go without all that?
So they, even though they heard him say, hey, I'm going to suffer and die and rise again the third day, no, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Third day? Oh, man. What happened? And that's what he says. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said. Okay, back to Hebrews. Sorry about that. We kind of... So he says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, 10:36, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now, that little while, like I said, it's the tribulation period that they have to go through. And the scripture calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And it says, but he shall be saved out of it.
Isaiah, that's fine.
We'll just get, look at Isaiah, Isaiah 32, John, let me get my,
29:17.
John,
7, 12, 14,
16. Luke. Yeah, this is. I wish I'd wrote that down. I know one is in John. So let's look at John first. John 16. And I'll look for Isaiah while you get that.
16:16. Oh,
that was the homework one. Now, this is...
That's a good one.
Yeah, now watch this. Man, you can't... You know what? We'll just go for it. Okay. Start at verse 11. Okay, 5. 16:5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Where is he going?
To the cross.
No.
To the Father.
To the Father.
Yeah.
Where is he going, though? What's he going to do? After he's resurrected, what's he going to do?
Sit on the throne.
We're after the cross here.
Huh?
I was thinking we're in John 6. Not 16.
Think about this. Acts 7, right? Okay, what's he doing? What was he doing before he stood up?
Sitting.
All right. Well, he said this, none of you ask me where I'm going. Where is he going?
To the Father's right hand.
To do what?
To intercede for them.
Judgment.
To wait.
To wait? What's he going to be doing while he's waiting?
Until his enemies are made his foot.
He's going to be doing what? You just said it.
Sitting down.
Sitting down. He's going to be sitting down. Until his enemies be made his footstool, right? Okay. 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Here we go. 16. And a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Right? Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Look. He says, what is this he saith, a little while? Right? And he said, you see me, and you shall see me. And he said, a little while. And some of his disciples said, what is this, a little while, that he says, a little while? Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. Look, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto him, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? What?
A little while.
A little while. And ye shall see me, and again, a little while. Right? He says, and a little while ye shall not see me, and again, a little while ye shall see me.
The whole world ties out
now. Let me ask you something. What's that?
It's his fingerprints all over.
I'm just trying to. If you're reading that, you're at home. If you're reading that, okay. What are you thinking? After we talk about those little things that we put on the shelf, Mm-hmm. And you're reading that, and he's talking about setting up the kingdom, going through the tribulation.
Made perfect.
And you're going through.
Complete.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, those are the things you start thinking if you start seeing patterns like that.
Exactly. This is what I'm thinking. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm sitting there and I'm reading this. That's been a while. I've seen that. That's been a. We just happened to be on a little while. So I'm sitting down and I'm thinking. I say, like I always say, you can't make this stuff up. I'm thinking. I say, wow, God. It's like, you can't make this up. Yeah. And you got to know he's not even trying.
I know.
Because it's all over the place.
It's natural.
You can't pick up a passage and you see, like, there it is again. It could be something different. Like, there it is.
Ticks and ties.
And you flip over something else, it's like, wow, there it is, right there. It's, and you think, like, I said, you can't make this up. Okay, what I say, Isaiah? I thought I was going to find it.
Is it 29? Are you looking for the little?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do this. Because he said this, verily, 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament.
Where are we? Back
John. We're still in John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. What? Now, he's setting them to setting the stage for them right now. He says, a little while, and you're going to weep. But after that, he said, you will be, your sorrow will be turned to joy. He said, a little while, Blake, and you won't see me. But a little while, you shall see me. He's already, you know what? He's already telling them that little while is what?
Seven
what?
Seven.
7 years of tribulation. And he says, verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. But he's setting the stage for the tribulation, for them to go through it. The same thing he's saying in Hebrews 11 is when he said, back to Hebrews 11, we won't go to the other verses. I think it was that enough? A little while?
Yeah, we got a little while.
He says, now, verse 1037, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He's waiting. As soon as they get to the They get through the
in the same
tribulation. He says, as a matter of fact, Ed, he says, I'm cutting that little while short. Because if I didn't, you wouldn't make it.
Right.
He says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, you know, he uses that verse, that's the just shall live by faith. He uses that quotation from
Galatians,
Habakkuk chapter 2, Romans chapter 1, And it's also in Galatians. And, but, in, you know what? It's in Habakkuk and Romans is the focus. He says, the just shall live by faith. And he's writing that because he gave them some instruction. He says, this is what's coming. Wrath. He said, wrath is coming, and if you believe, you can escape. You can live. If you don't believe, what happens if you don't believe?
You don't
you go what?
You're going
that you're going into perdition. He said, now the just shall. You know what Habakkuk said this? He said, write the vision. We butcher this up. Write the vision and make it plain. That he that readeth may run. Y'all don't remember that? Okay, Habakkuk. Just two more verses. That is. The Lord has already told Habakkuk the prophet, he said, listen, tell those people that I'm going to get them. Tell them, you the prophet, tell them I'm going to get them, and tell those who believe to get out. That's pretty plain, huh? Okay. Habakkuk 2.
Sounds like Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah.
He gives you a chance to believe. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now that's coming up too. That's good. But at the end, it shall speak and lie not, and not lie. What shall speak?
Truth.
The vision, truth. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry. Oh, I like, though it tarry. Add that to Hebrews. He said, look, I'm coming back. That's the word. He says, and it's speaking, right? Though I what? A little while, I'll be back. A little while, you'll see me. You might think I'm tarrying, but I'm what? I'll be back. Yes. I'm on time. Okay. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Appointed time.
His time.
What's that?
His time.
His time. What? A set time. Look, if he said, look, 400 years, I'll be back.
Yep. That's
400 years. That's what I'm looking for, right? That's, if he said 7 years, I'll be back. 3.5 years, I'll be back. What are you looking for?
I'll be back.
You know what? I love this verse. I'm going to have to quote this. It's a verse in Genesis where Jacob was serving for Leah.
Oh, serving for Leah.
Years. Yes. And he waited.
Seven more years.
He labored 7 years and then he got Leah. No, he was working for Rachel. 7 years and he got Leah.
Seven more.
You know, Genesis. All right, hold your hand there. Hold your hand there. Okay.
Tell her we talk.
There's a lot. I was reading a book.
29.
Talking about 14, like 2 7s, like what you just said. And I was thinking that the tribulation was going to start right after the rapture, and it seems like it's going to be maybe 7 years before the 7 year contract and the.
There'll be a delay because the rapture doesn't start at the covenant signing starts.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't mix me up. 29. Genesis 29. And 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served seven. This, I love this. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. I love that. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet other 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also.
Troubles begin.
That's you know what? I love that verse where he says, and it seemed, he said, it seemed what? Unto him, it seemed unto him but a few days.
I'm glad.
He said, I don't know how much fun that was.
It seemed unto him but a few days. Was he looking forward to that? By the way, it was seven because they made it what?
Covenant.
Okay. Although he broke it. Habakkuk. What did I say? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell you what. We're going to stop right there because I know I'm over, way over time. So we'll pick up at 11. Maybe comment just on a little while. For a little while, and then move on through 11 next week. We're close. We're getting close to the end of Hebrews. Right? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the time we spent. We pray that you would take your word and impress upon us, our hearts and minds, something that that you seem fit just for us, for each person here. So strengthen us according to our need at the time. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your believers and the privilege to fellowship together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.